Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. I know it's a little odd time to hear from me, and I don't want you to be overly alarmed at this moment because we are really just beginning to get information, but we have breaking news out of Santa Rosa County that certainly is concerning. Multiple reports at this hour of explosions in the sky over the area. Witnesses are describing loud booms, flashes of light, visible across different parts of the county. At this time, officials have not confirmed the cause of these explosions, and details do remain limited.
Okay, before you get too worried, I was tempted to, would I play the whole thing, or would I pause it, or what would I do? But I just don't want anybody, because it's not April Fool's Day, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Yesterday, the Santa Rosa County Emergency Management had their annual Hurricane Get Ready exercise, and they asked me to do the narrative as if it was a radio broadcast happening during the course of the emergency. So if you were in the EOC in Santa Rosa, this is how you got introduced to what was happening. So no, not actual, but it was kind of a fun thing to be able to do, and I wanted to give you the simulated experience of it.
In addition, emergency calls are coming in reporting visible smoke and possible fires in several locations, including Milton and Baghdad. We're also hearing reports of smoke near the I-10 bridge around the 28-mile marker, where drivers have described reduced visibility and a possible active fire situation. Local emergency crews are responding, but authorities have not yet issued an official statement regarding the nature or scale of these incidents. Of course, we are working to contact your officials to make sure to get you the freshest information here on News Radio. Residents in the affected areas have been urged to stay indoors, avoid unnecessary travel, and monitor official channels for updates. We'll continue to follow this developing story and bring you the latest information as soon as it becomes available. Again, breaking news, reports of explosions in the sky over Santa Rosa County, along with multiple fires and smoke sightings in Milton, Baghdad, and near the I-10 bridge. Stay with us here on News Radio for continuing coverage. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wasn't that a cool idea?
I love it.
I know. Wasn't it great?
I love it.
And so then, you know, because every year, you know, every EOC, I mean, Escambia's got theirs. I don't remember where they haven't had theirs yet, I don't believe. Anyway, and, you know, it's a chance for all of the people who represent the various elements that are involved in an emergency response to some situation. They come together and they role play it. They tabletop it. And in this case, the folks in emergency management in Santa Rosa thought, you know what we should do? We should have that Andrew McKay record something and make it feel real. There you go. That was part one.
It gets better.
It gets. Should I? I was going to wait till later. I was going to wait till later.
Why, Andrew? Andrew?
I mean, play it like it's happening. Play it like it's, you know, that's the first report. And in an hour, we get more information.
Oh, okay.
And in an hour, we'll get more information.
It's going to be all morning.
Yeah, I got five reports over the course of the day. So, you know, just be patient. Everything's going to be all right. It's like Bob Marley told you. Or
everything going to be all
right. I had to think for a second. There was a weird part of my brain that was like, no, it was Stevie Wonder. No, it wasn't Stevie Wonder. I don't know. Don't ask me too many questions.
Stevie Wonder.
So yesterday, of course, Eric Winstrom got sworn in, and Deputy Chief Matt Coverdale introduces him.
Thank you all for joining us today for this special occasion as we gather to witness the swearing in of Chief Winstrom. This ceremony marks not only a change in leadership, but a renewed commitment to service, integrity, and the safety of our community. We're honored to celebrate this important milestone alongside family, friends, fellow officers, and community members.
Oh, I didn't cut my favorite part of that. I must have done this poorly at the time. He starts off saying, oh, this is my favorite part, public speaking. Because Matt is the prototypical military slash law enforcement guy who is, you know, only scared of one thing, the microphone. Like, he is able to do anything. And he's, you know, I mean, he's a badass. He's a legitimate badass, okay? But he just, you know, doesn't want to, you know, talk in front of people. Like, public speaking is the thing that terrifies him, right? So he got up yesterday and said, "All right, that's it."
Thank you all for joining us today for this special occasion as we gather to witness the swearing in of Chief Winstrom. This ceremony.
Oh, I thought I don't know where he said it, but he definitely said it, and it made me laugh when he said it. All right, so that was just the intro. But then D.C. Reeves talking about the value of public safety.
So since the day I took office, there hasn't been a single day on this job as your mayor that doesn't start with priority one, which is keeping our people safe. That responsibility means many things, from tackling violent crime and ensuring traffic safety to preparing for hurricanes, and Chief, much like up north, our frigid Florida snowstorms. Because safety is the foundation of everything that we do and everything I promise the 55,000 people who live here, choosing a police chief is the single most consequential decision I can make in this office.
Yeah, I mean, you know, choosing the city administrator is important, but, you know, that's part of a team, right? Choosing a police chief is a pretty direct influence on the one thing that, above all, has to be done right, and if it's not done right, then nothing else really matters, which is public safety.
I'd never met Chief Winstrom before this process began, but through a long front-facing search with community feedback and public attention, I will say it feels like I've known him much longer. I will share with you that Chief Winstrom gave the best interview I've been a part of. It wasn't a rattling of experience or robust studying of the Pensacola Wikipedia page. It was not a lecture on his own expertise. He spent very little time explaining how much of an expert he actually is. What resonated with me most is how he showed us true leadership experience. The comfort and perspective to lead the city exactly how it wants to be led.
And that's vital, is that Winstrom comes in as a law enforcement expert, but not committed to any particular set of policies per se. I mean, I know he's got principles. I know he's got beliefs about what works and what doesn't work. But that he's here to figure out, how do we want to be policed? How do we want to be served? And let's make that happen.
He didn't come here with mandates of policies. He came here to listen and respond. He understands that this job is to build a plan and protect this city, not Chicago, not Grand Rapids, and to protect Pensacola the way our citizens desire. This distinction is so important to me and should be to all of us.
And, of course, his wife, in case you forgot, his wife was a cop. They kind of met through law enforcement. Both of his kids are here now. And, you know, anyway, just.
Of course, a new chief in a new city means we're welcoming an entire family today. Rachel, as a former police officer yourself, you understand the weight of this badge better than most. To Connor and Molly, I know our city will quickly embrace you as our own. We also know that there's no way we'd be here in this room talking about this new chief without you. So thank you for believing in this city, trusting this decision, and trusting the unwavering support that Chief Winstrom has from this city and our city government.
And something that I did not know is that Chief Winstrom came with, you know, his wife and his two kids. But apparently he brought a whole bunch of other people with him to Pensacola.
And while we're on the topic of family, I must be honest. I've lost count of how many Winstrom parents and grandparents and relatives have moved here in the last 3 months, but it is a lot. And again, Chief Winstrom's dedication should be applauded here. He is so dedicated, knowing that sales taxes to purchase police vehicles are calculated by the city's population, that he has moved several, if not dozens, of Winstroms and others to town to increase said tax collection.
It's a light moment, but it's funny. It was funny. So, you know, he gets the oath by Judge Simon and then, of course, made some comments, and it was, you know, quite good. We'll cover that a little bit more later on in the show. We kind of have a show today that's just kind of spread out over the course of a couple hours. We're taking it easy. Meanwhile, what's going to be interesting is today you have the Escambia Board of County Commissioners meeting at 9 a.m., and then you have the Santa Rosa County Board of County Commissioners meeting at 8:30 a.m., and I expect both of them to be very lively. In Santa Rosa, it's not so much for what's on the agenda. There's not anything that's super contrary. I mean, the cameras, you know, are on the agenda, but that's the agreement to a contract. That's not really the creation of a new ordinance. The ordinance is already in place. So this is all over, but for the, you know, the shouting largely. But what's going to, I think, come up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, because it did not come up on Tuesday. And in part, I think it didn't come up on Tuesday because Ray Eddington was not there. and, you know, let's have this conversation when everybody's here. So what's going to come up is this business of, you know, three county commissioners, Ray Eddington, Bobby Burkett, and Rhett Rowell, siding with Mayor Heather Lindsay of Milton to make the next TPO chair be not a Santa Rosa County representative, Kerry Smith, but instead to reappoint Stephen Berry, the Escambia County commissioner, as the chair for 2 years in a row on the TPO. And I would think this might come up. We'll see. But I would think that that is going to... I think some people are really not happy about that choice, and they're going to want to know why'd you make that vote. Meanwhile, in Escambia County, people are also unhappy about that TPO meeting. What are they unhappy about? Well, the thing that the Milton people went there to accomplish, which was to move the priority for Highway 90 reconstruction, you know, to expand the bridge and other parts, but to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. They're not happy because in Escambia County, we've been wanting Sorrento Road for so long that, you know, your commissioners, this would be District 2, Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger or Luma, I have to think about where Sorrento, I guess it'd be District 1. Anyway, they're not going to be happy that that Highway 90 leapfrogged Sorrento Road, and Stephen Berry let that happen on his watch. Although, I think, in Stephen's defense, I think the answer is going to be a couple of things. Number one, anything outside the top three, it's all the same. It doesn't really matter. Number two, there's already been some work done on Sorrento Road. It's going to be an issue. But number three, he's going to be like, well, where were you? You know, I don't think he's going to say it, but look, I'm in there by myself. There was literally one commissioner, you know, from Escambia County. So if they wanted to move it, what was he going to be able to do to stop them? But we'll see. You know, that should be lively. Also today, Escambia County Commission is voting on whether to put the Escambia Children's Trust back on the ballot. And you have had a lot of people come out in opposition to this. There are a lot of individuals who do not like the trust. I don't think that's the real issue. I mean, certainly nobody is pushing for this unless they dislike the trust and dislike paying the tax of in the vicinity of $50 to $100, maybe $150 a year if you're a property owner, you know, depending on the value of your home. If your home is valued at somewhere in the $500,000 range for tax purposes, you pay $150. If it's $300, you pay $100. If it's, you know, you might pay as low as $50. But it's not a lot of money, but it's not nothing. But anyway, it's three mills. You remember I taught you how to make the mill calculation yesterday, which, by the way, if you missed that and you want to know what mill and millage is and how they work and how to make the numbers work and easily, right, John, it was easy.
Yes, it was.
It's very easy, okay? I put up a post on Facebook about it. I put up both the text version, like print you can read, and then also the video version, because I know everybody learns a little bit different way. Anyway, that's on my Facebook page or on the News Radio 92.3 Facebook page. So the fight over the Children's Trust, and by the way, the issue is not just whether you like it or don't like it. The issue is whether we should be reconsidering a vote halfway through the period of time that we already voted to create. And my answer is no, this is stupid. This is not how things work. You don't reconsider votes halfway through a period of time. It'd be like, well, should we have the local option sales tax up for a question? Should we have, you know, Mike Kohler and Lumen May and Stephen Berry up for midterm recall questions? I mean, you know, we just don't do things this way. The voters voted, and, you know, whether you agree with them or not, the voters voted. That's the whole idea of democracy. And, you know, the losing side doesn't get to reconsider an issue. That's actually a parliamentary rule. And so, anyway, I don't know what to think is going to happen in that case, but I think a lot of people are going to be there. What's going to happen is a lot of programs and maybe kids that have benefited from the Children's Trust are going to show up. So I think it's going to be a long meeting, but we'll see. There's some other kind of interesting things on that agenda as well. We'll talk about that with Wes Moreno coming up at 6:40. 437-1620. Last quick note, Veterans Memorial Park on Sunday. This is Sunday. I don't know why, because if you're a Gen X kid, that's the only way you can ever say the word Sunday. Right, John? Tell me I'm wrong.
No, okay. You're not.
Veterans Memorial Park on Sunday the 25th for Memorial Day. Keynote speaker for the ceremony is going to be Command Sergeant Major Robert Patterson, U.S. Army retired, a veteran of Vietnam and Gulf War, and a Medal of Honor recipient. So, if you've never heard a Medal of Honor recipient speak, you know, hey, you know, Sunday, you can go to the event at Veterans Memorial Park. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Tune in today at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in today at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hello, Sheriff. Is this your idea of control?
Shut up, you twit.
So, file this in the category of some things are so horrid that it's actually kind of hard to wrap your brain around it. But here goes. You ready? So, you know, mifepristone, that's the one part of the abortion drug cocktail that gets prescribed to women early in pregnancy to do a pharmaceutical abortion, which is the top way, the number one most popular way that women get abortions these days. And mifepristone comes along with misoprostol, which is another drug protocol that they take. There's actually 5 pills is the way I understand it. And pardon me if you're a doctor and I get any of this wrong. I'm doing my best to understand it, but this is how I understand it. So mifepristol is the one that actually kills the embryo. It thins the lining and it forces the expulsion. And that's the one that ends the life, okay, or terminates, however you prefer to say it. I don't want to get into that semantic argument so much. I mean, I know what I know because I'm pro-life. But the other drug... And that's, by the way, that's the one that has been in the question with the Supreme Court and the FDA and safety concerns and what states are trying to do to regulate or restrict access to abortion and so forth. The other drug, however, is a very commonly used drug for all kinds of things to basically induce the body to go through the contractions and, you know, open the cervix and expel the baby. It's even used sometimes to facilitate delivery, is my understanding. Misoprostol is 4 pills, and you take it like every 3 hours. Well, because mifepristone is, you know, in contention or hard to get, or, you know, I mean, you're allowed to get it right now in a Supreme Court order, but that's all temporary. Cosmo Magazine, of all places, which I didn't know was still being made. I don't know if it's even in print, but online. Your Complete Guide to Misoprostol-Only Abortions, they wrote an article. The article is designed to teach you how to use just misoprostol to expel the embryo that's growing in you because you haven't killed it with mifepristone, to just make your body have the contractions and expel the stuff from your uterus and essentially send the living, very early term baby outside to, you know, well, it's just going to die on its own outside the body. Now, typically, they're very small. Typically, you know, we're not talking about, you're not going to, you don't mind it, not even see anything that you can see. You might. But they say this is what they do in other countries where they don't have access to mifepristone. There's nothing regulating misoprostol the same way. And they treat it like a girl talk gossip sesh. Keep reading for the full deets on that later is kind of the tone of this article in Cosmo. I don't really have a lot to say except that, you know, when you come up against just full-blown evil, it's hard to know what to say exactly.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Department of Justice officially indicting former Cuban leader Raul Castro for the 1996 attack on two civilian planes that killed four men, including three Americans, alleging
when he served as Cuba's defense minister, he authorized the use of deadly force on two small planes operated by Miami-based exiles who had been dropping pro-democracy leaflets over Havana.
Fox's Chanley Painter. President Trump says he's willing to give diplomacy more time with Iran, but he warns things could escalate quickly if they don't get the right deal.
Reuters reports Tehran is reviewing the responses from the U.S. The president has rejected previous proposals, deeming them insufficient. Tehran has reportedly demanded control of the Strait of Hormuz, lifting of sanctions, and withdrawal of U.S. troops, and has offered no resolution for its nuclear program.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 74 degrees with cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get a full look at our weather forecast with Channel 3, and that's up here in just a few minutes. A 45-year-old Pensacola man is facing 11 charges after a teenage victim reported years of sexual abuse to school officials. Pensacola police arrested William Shea on May 13th, that is, I'm sorry, on multiple counts of sexual battery involving children under 12 and between 13 and 17, along with additional charges. According to court documents, that abuse took place over 5 years while Shea and the victim lived together. The 14-year-old reported the abuse to school officials earlier this month. A new multi-use storm shelter for the town of Century is getting a little bit closer to reality. Escambia County Commissioners are set to approve a $612,000 design contract this week, the next step in a project funded through a $10 million federal grant. The new facility will transform the old Century High School gym into a full-service emergency shelter with an industrial kitchen, showers, and bedding. Century Mayor Ben Boutwell says the YMCA has expressed interest in operating that facility year-round once construction is complete. Lifeguard coverage is expanding along the area's beaches this weekend. Starting on Saturday, Pensacola Beach lifeguards will be stationed at Perdido Key Beach, Access 2. They'll be there daily from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. through August 11th. Lifeguards are already on duty at Casino Beach, Park East, Park West, and at Quiet Water Beach. Well, a misaligned intersection near Pace has been on Commissioner Bobby Burkett's radar for a while. He's pushing to fix it before new commercial development can make it worse. Tunnel Road and Quintet Road currently meet at an angle that creates dangerous conditions. Burkett told commissioners earlier this week that he's seen enough.
We've looked this hard, long and hard, to try to figure out how we can help improve this intersection because there's a tremendous amount of accidents there, and it's the way it's misaligned at that intersection. Is dangerous. I first thought about let's temporarily closing off one end of it. But after more research and everything, I don't think that's the answer. I think getting it realigned, which is what you proposed, I like that idea better.
And staff is recommending adding turn lanes as a solution, which could be funded through impact fees since the improvement would add capacity. That item will be on the Santa Rosa regular Board of Commissioners agenda at their meeting here later this morning. It's 534 News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will see a small chance of rain today with just about a 20% chance of a few stray showers. Temperatures warming up into the upper 80s for some of us, mid to upper 80s for highs. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 70s. Heading into your Friday, small chance of rain, about a 30% chance of a isolated shower or thunderstorm. Temperatures around 84 degrees for your high. Overnight Friday, back to your 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
74 with cloudy skies at the moment. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Ubisoft shares fell 16% after the game developer forecasted further losses in its upcoming financial year. The company released its full-year earnings following years of stock price declines. Company leadership said Ubisoft is undergoing a major restructuring. Shares of Samsung Electronics jumped more than 6% after its labor union suspended a planned 18-day strike, easing concerns over disruptions at the South Korean chipmaker. The union said the strike would proceed after the government-mediated talks collapsed. However, another round of negotiations led by South Korean officials resulted in a tentative agreement. Oil prices have dropped this morning as the markets deal with uncertainty regarding an Iran peace deal. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $98 per barrel, Brent at $104. Futures are mixed as traders analyze NVIDIA earnings. On Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 645, the NASDAQ up 399, the S&P 500 up 79. That's your money now.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday through Monday, see America's tall ship, the U.S. Coast Guard Bark Eagle. It's the largest tall ship flying the stars and stripes. For tour information, see visitpensacola.com. Saturday, it's the annual Family Beach Fest at the Gulfside Pavilion from 3 till 7:30. The free concert honors God, family, and our military on Memorial Day weekend. See Family Beach Fest on Facebook for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thanks so much for having me.
We're almost there. Friday, ribbon cutting, small scale, small R, ribbon cutting, to open up the Romana section of Palafox, and then 10 days later, open to everybody, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we're planning Friday at 3 o'clock, open to the public at the intersection of Romana and Palafox. We're going to do what we're really calling.
Wait. Did you pronunciation check me?
I said, oh, no. If you didn't pronounce it the way I pronounced it, then I guess yes.
I've always said Romana. You said Romana in what I thought was a very deliberate way. Is it? I've always said it Romana. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Am I wrong?
Right, you're making
me second guess something. tomato, tomato, Andrew. But we will have there at Romana/Romana and Palafox, we will have the small business ribbon cutting. Very excited for that. And the reason we're doing it is we're going to have the official, as I keep joking, kind of the hoity-toity formal dedication, for a major project. We're certainly super excited about. But we're going to do that around the America 250 celebration. We'll have that in Plaza Ferdinand. More details to come. But we thought it would, one, we went through 5 months, 139 days of construction for these small businesses that our city and our surrounding area has really stepped up for these businesses. We've lost zero businesses because of the closure. We're very proud of that because there was a lot of intentionality behind that.
Do you know anything about employee counts? Because that would be, I mean, I know we didn't lose any, binary yes, no on businesses, but do we know anything about employees or hours? I mean, I just don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, and we wouldn't either. And whether it was Blue Sky or construction, we don't have any mechanism to keep tabs at a month by month level on employees, of course. And listen, that doesn't mean that there weren't some adjustments. There's less tables outside, those types of things. Certainly that's possible. Nonetheless, the bottom line to me is in 139 days, we completed 5 city blocks, an $11 million project. We lost zero businesses. We're stormwater hardened. We are ADA accessible, more aesthetic, and we've made an investment in the cornerstone of economic development from a tourism standpoint in our downtown. And to do that in 139 days, I'm certainly proud of being on time, on budget, and all of that. So the reason we're doing something now is we're letting the small businesses cut the ribbon, right? I mean, the idea is to let everybody know that this road is back open. Will be pedestrian only through the end of the month, which will be kind of interesting to watch. We're doing that because we're moving some fences over to some of the side streets and things like that. We have the Fiesta Parade, of course, the following Friday downtown. So that you would already have Palo Fox closed regardless from a security standpoint. So it'll be a good little experiment or logistical thing that also allows you to have your kids and family. If you want to go out in the middle of the road and take photos, you don't have to worry about a car coming down. So, we will do that Friday at 3:00. Of course, the public is welcome.
So, I figured that this was probably also a pray for rain and test the system before we open it to traffic kind of thing because of all the new storm drains that have put in. I know some people are looking at this like, are you sure they're not testing this for a future pedestrian only zone switch?
We are not testing it for a pedestrian-only zone. Again, it would, if we were to say we want to put cars on there as quickly as possible, what would ultimately end up happening as an alternative to this is we would open one day, close one day, open 4 hours, close 4 hours because of the fences moving.
Okay,
that's really the reason. We wanted to give enough time, and it's just much cleaner and simpler. I don't want to go on your radio show and say, go stand out in the middle of the road, except for 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 9 a.m. nice. To 1 p.m. on Friday. It just made natural sense to us, but you hear the same things I hear. Of course, some people want to close it permanently 24 hours a day. Some people think, cars driving by is how those businesses survive, and that's important to them. So, I get that. I'm sure, Andrew, that this project completion will not be the last of that debate, I'm sure.
Oh, I have an update. I have two people have texted me and said that it's Romana and not Romana. So problem solved.
I guess I have to file an ordinance or something.
There you go. Yeah, why not? I want to ask you about something that is, I don't think you're going to like the question, but it's a question a lot of people are asking right now. When it comes to travel to the beach, which I know the beach is itself not in your domain, travel to the beach is a problem that we all deal with, and it's the biggest draw for our community, and we're talking about building either a convention space or building an athletic space or whatever, and the engineers from DRMP the engineer from DRMP basically says we're at capacity, it's at the breaking point, and we cannot take any more. Is it time to stop marketing Pensacola Beach for people to come here?
No, I think and this is where I will only dip my toenail into other government's business. I will limit it to when is the last significant infrastructure project that took place out there, I think is a fair question. I can make it a good segue to the airport that we'll talk about in a second by saying we have an airport built for 1.3 million people that now 3.1 million people fly through.
Yeah.
could you make, just in general, and again, I don't, this is a problem and no solution, and it certainly is the county, and I know they got a lot of smart people working on this project. You do have to ask yourself, when was the last major infrastructure increase to allow capacity that's happened out there? That was the first thing I thought when I saw that study that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I don't mean widening a bridge. I don't think the bridge necessarily would be the issue, but when you get onto the island, it tends to be the issue. And so, I think that's worth a robust conversation. Andrew, you've been around long enough to hear every one of these scenarios. Do you build a garage? Do you take the SRIA property and build some type of parking structure on that side with retail? I mean, there's been, every year or two, there's always something to talk through. And, I'll defer all of that to the experts that are more immersed in that than I am. But I think when you look at it 30,000 foot view, that probably needs to be a question is, how many more people come to the beach now than they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago? And when's the last time that we've kind of had an investment that has allowed for that growth to take place?
I'll put this will be the third time I've mentioned it on the air, and I mentioned only by way of passing because I can't get it out of my head. I mentioned to Sam Abel and she almost passed out. We should take Garcon Point Road, plow it right through the Walmart and Tiger Point golf course and build a third bridge. And then we have a grid system to the eastern side of the non-Gulf Islands National Seashore. But that's a conversation for a different day. And I don't actually advocate for it, but I am kind of fascinated by the idea. Something.
No comment.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I was watching the TPO last week. And, the thought occurred to me, why is the mayor of Pensacola not a seat on the TPO?
That's a good question, and I only pause at that because obviously there's lots of responsibilities in this job, and that would be another one. I think a lot of what you see with the mayor appointees and council appointees at the city are a little backwards. And by the way, that's no slight of anybody on council or council staff. I just think when you're new, your form of government's 15 years old, and there are bodies that require city representation. So we've had a few of these that have changed just on smaller scales, like Florida West, EDC, where, they, of course, because of the old form of government, they were council appointees. And so some of those boards haven't necessarily caught up to the new form of government and understandable. Like, when would that happen? Right. Like, it would take some intentionality for that, for people to look at that. And then, then that's a discussion between council and mayor's office. But I think it's a fair question. I mean, at least having some type of representation there for sure.
You didn't say it, but I assume you also mean like TDT, for example, TDC, that would be one. And there's others as well.
Correct.
Where because of the change in the nature of government and you being an elected independent, official, you mentioned at the airport, big announcement, what, $9 million, biggest single grant. We're at 32, need 38 more, and it's a $110 million project, right? The airport, all the different things we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, I mean, you've got a concourse that needs to be built, but you've got baggage claim that needs to be updated, a utility plant, all those things. So that's a number that from an entire modernization program can go, that ticket can go much higher. But we're absolutely thrilled to get the $9 million from the FAA. This was something that we were getting zero from the FAA when we got here. And the hardest thing, the first dollar is always hardest with these federal grants, these revolving ones. And so we fought. I believe I always get it confused. We got, I think it was $4 million. Yes, I believe it was $4 million because the $5 million was from the state. And so we got that first $4 million, and that's what I said at the time was, this isn't just $4 million. It's kind of getting on the docket, so to speak, knowing that this is a recurring thing, and that as progress moves forward, that kind of opened the window for us to be able to get more funding and prove that on Monday. So very excited for that. And as I mentioned in the press conference, what does that mean for you as a listener, as an airport user? What it means is the more grant money we get, the less money we have to bond, and the less money we have to bond, that's a pass through that ultimately, it doesn't matter what airport does what project, can have a negative consequence on the ticket you pay, right? All those fees and all of that. So without getting into airport math, the bottom line is the more grants we get, the more likely it is that we can keep your ticket affordable. And that's what has made Pensacola International Airport so strong. And why we've seen such growth is we have been more competitive than our neighbors, and we continue to do so. And we should after this project as well.
Most definitely. I have so much I always want to talk with you about. You were talking about yard debris, and you went through and explained how, and you've kind of hinted at this before, that you're sure that it's a lot of this is because of contractors not doing their job. And if I understood you correctly, you told the story that somebody actually came to your house and did tree work and then posed you the question of, well, do you want to pay $100 for us to take it away, or do you want us to leave it on your lawn illegally and then the city takes care of it? Did that actually happen to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
And again, I don't think, do I think it's malicious? No, it's that classic case. It's there's lots of things that remind me of the recycling process. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know that, I'm sure there's some companies that have been here a long time that know the rule, and there's going to be ones that don't, right? Ones
yep.
that pop up and don't. And that's why I keep saying job number one is to get everybody's yard debris up. And I think we put 1,100 man hours in last week, which has got to be some kind of record outside of a hurricane. That's job number one, get everything picked up. Job number two is we are going to assess and right size what we need to do. And before people say, oh man, that means you're going to charge more. I have no intention of wanting to charge more. Ultimately, the charges rest with the council. But I don't think that is the case. It's time for education, and there's time for rules to be followed. I think that is going to be our first step, is if we find out that contractors are asking that question that someone asked me a couple of years back, to say, yeah, would you like to pay for it yourself? Well, what do you expect a citizen to say? Of course they're going to say, no, just leave it out on the curb. I don't
right,
want to pay another
exactly.
$100. Well, in reality, who's paying that $100? I mean, the $100 that I should be paying at my house is being spread across 21,000 households. So, that's the reality. So if we don't want to get to additional costs, then we have to, and that's our job. Meaning that's not the citizen's job. That's our job is, hey, we've got these rules on the books. We try to be fair and kind of loosey goosey with it. We don't want to, as you heard me say, I don't want to get my tape measure out and say, well, your pile is 6'4". give us $15. That's not how we want to operate. Right. So we got to attack this at where it's most painful for us, which is these contractors that are leaving enormous piles of, all winter long, all spring long yard trash that it's supposed to be a 6x6 box.
And I only ask this because I can't not ask it. Were you the mayor when he said this to you, or were you not yet the mayor?
It would be close. I actually would think yes, but yeah, it would be close. Yeah.
Well, not everybody knows who's the mayor. Who is the mayor? So that's fair enough. Hey, we always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. First one, does the moon rotate or not rotate on its own axis?
I don't know all these NASA questions, Andrew. I'm just trying to get your yard trash picked up.
I'll allow it.
I don't know. What is the right answer?
It rotates at 1/30th or so of because it's rotating gradually over the course of a month. But okay, fair enough. Dirty dishes. Do you do dirty dishes as you go, immediately after the meal that day, or when the piles become annoying?
Once per night, right? When everything's
okay.
in.
All right.
Ice cream bowls and everything. We're all the way through. That's when it gets attacked.
And the most important question I am going to ask you for a long time is fruit cocktail, yay or nay, versus single fruit?
Grew up on it. The little plastic, thing you pulled back, I'm sure it was sitting in juice that was definitely not legal anymore, I'm sure, back in the 90s. but absolutely. I mean, I have to be honest, I don't run across it much anymore, Andrew, since I was like maybe 10. But maybe now we have
the explanation. It was fruit cocktail as a kid that made you say Romana as an adult. DC Reeves is the...
Could be.
Mayor of Pensacola. I always appreciate talking with you, sir. Thank you so much for the information. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
By the way, this is apparently an active controversy now. I got told by my sales manager, Jeff Wayne, who is a 53rd generation Pensacolian. I don't know. No, his family's been here forever. And he told me, no, it's Romana. So now I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right answer is. But certainly the answer is not going to be say it however you like, because there's no pronunciation locally where that's the answer. There's a right answer. There's a wrong answer. Yankee. 554 here on News Radio 92.3. I know nobody ever says it, but they always imply it. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very, very good at this. They kind of have a... like a formula almost for how to sell homes. And, you know, that might seem overly simplistic, but I mean, it works. 209 homes sold last year for a week. And it has to do with how they list and what price and how they photograph. And I mean, how you photograph is vital, and how you do an open house and how you set your prices and how you do your follow-ups. And, you know, I don't know what the magic formula is. You know, it's not like the Coke formula where, you know, two people each have half of it and they're separated by continent or whatever. I don't think it's quite like that, but whatever it is, they manage to make it work very effectively, repeatedly, over and over and over again. And that gives them experience, knowledge, which reinforces the success of the formula. Now, that's true if you're buying too. You know, they're great at helping you buy. And a lot of times, of course, you're selling and buying at the same time. But the point is, if you're thinking about a real estate transaction for, you know, a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team, or rental, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you with that. 786-3996.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Digital marketing can be confusing, and with the security concerns and the internet, it might even be a little bit scary. But at ADX Digital, we use Double Verify. This means we only deliver ads to real people through trusted partners on secure websites and apps. No bots, no scams, no funny business. Actual people inside your target geography moved to action through effective planning and professional execution. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Skin Bracer Aftershave.
By Menon.
Interesting story that has sort of not gotten a lot of attention. I think it's kind of shown up on some news sites in the last couple of days. But do you remember the Take It Down Act from last year? This was Melania Trump was a big advocate for this. It was the idea that if somebody had nude photos of you or videos of you online and you didn't want them to, you could force the social media platform to take it down. And if they didn't, they'd, you know, there'd be a problem. And they had to create an access way for you to report this, you know, easily, and particularly not just for fakes, although that's a part of it, for fake things like done with deep fakes or AI, but for real pictures too. Well, that's they gave them basically a year. They put a year delay in the implementation and said, you got to have this done. Well, the year is up. So now there's a pretty big consequences if you have a social media platform and somebody complains about the videos or a picture and they don't take it down within 48 hours. It's quick action. I mean, it's not immediate, but it's still, you know, that's pretty quick. This is, you know, a law that President Trump signed. This passed in the House, like, I mean, 400-5. I mean, it's, you know, overwhelmingly bipartisan, the passage for this thing, which, you know, I think is fantastic. The one, and there's actually takeitdown.ftc.gov. So the Federal Trade Commission even created a website where you can, you know, report violations. So the one thing about this that does raise a concern is, okay, so if people can be forced to take down, you know, artificial images or images without your consent, It makes obvious sense when you're talking about nudity and pornography. But could it also be used to, and it's, by the way, it's $53,000 a violation. And there, I think there's jail time, up to 2 years in prison. So it's pretty robust. Could it be used to stifle people who engage in political criticism or political satire? That's kind of the concern note here. But I'll tell you, for me, I think that basically you ought to be able to take down any AI, any fabricated image. But of course, then you're like, what about a political cartoon? You know, but man, these things are just, they're prolific out there, and I'm more in the shut it down. 92.3.